sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut up!
Brothers and sisters, settle down. Please, settle down. Sit down. Sit down. Okay, I'm going to drop a little poetry for y'all. Just going to entertain you with a little poetry. All right, sit down. Sit down. Got to settle down. Hold on. Let me get some water. Elvis was a hero the most. I said, Elvis was a hero the most. Hey, yo, can you hear me? I said Elvis was a hero the most, but he never meant shit to me. See, straight up racist, that sucker was simple and plain. Motherfuck his mama and John Wayne. Cause I'm black and I'm proud, I'm ready and I'm hyped, plus I'm amped. Most of my heroes don't appear on no stamps. Hey, welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Pour tous les Français, Monsieur Grandpapa B. You know, I'm going to add one more, a.k.a. I am your king right now. No, hold on. No, hold on. I'm not doing any justice. I said, oh, wait a minute. Where is it again? Oh, shit. It's, yeah, a.k.a.
I am your king now.
all right, boys and girls, girls and boys, and everyone in the, whatever, yeah, everyone else. Does that make sense? Whatever, yeah, welcome, man, welcome. Midweek episode, and before I start, I want to remind, it's the first of the month. Do you know what that means? No, motherfucker. That's what the white man wants us to believe. Nah, it's the first of the month of February. You know what that means?
I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all.
Come on.
I'm black, y'all, uh-huh. And I'm black, y'all.
What?
And I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all.
How black?
I'm blickety black, blacker than black, black. I'm blacker than black.
Yo.
Because I'm black, and I'm black. Yo, I'm black, and I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all.
Come on.
And I'm black, y'all.
Yeah.
And I'm black, y'all. And I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all.
I used to have a line that went, I'm black. How black? Black, blacker than black. So black that Whitey gets a heart attack. yeah. Wow. You know what? I'm okay. I guess I'm in the moment. I forgot to remind you listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black. Like if it wasn't obvious enough, but this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. Okay. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s, watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded, like I said, on February 1st, 2023, on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. If you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Say that shit with your chest. Yeah. All right. Woo! Woo! You know, that long intro was just my way. That long intro combined with the theme song, it's just my nice way of saying this is my safe space. So enter at your own risk. We will not be giving a fuck about right fragility on this podcast. All right, okay. Let me start off by saying shout out to Public Enemy. If you weren't familiar with that piece of poetry that I just shared at the beginning of the podcast, that was Fight the Power. And yeah, man, I say shout out to Public Enemy because I'm not going to go on a long... Okay, focus, all right? Because I'm sticking to the format. The format is I introduce myself. Little foreplay with y'all. Then I'm going to a segment that I call Random Thoughts, which is just unfocused shit. That's just random shit that I found on the internet that I want to talk about. And I do that for like 20 minutes. That's my new limit, right? And afterwards, I do into personal thoughts, and that's like the real preaching. That's, you know, the Holy Spirit gets in me, and, you know, I might talk long or I might talk short, but who knows? It goes where it goes, all right? Okay, I'm being mindful of the time here. I'm trying to be mindful of, I'll explain my day, because this is a midweek episode. It's on a Wednesday, and all I was going to say is shout out to Public Enemy, because I don't know. I think I'd like to get the history of Public Enemy, Chuck D, Flavor Flav, Professor Griff, all of them at S1W's. Like, what were they thinking? What? And what I mean by that is how... You know, when I guess I'm sort of, maybe it's my sensitivity kicking in here, but it's just like I'm so grateful for their content, and it's like I want to believe like there was like divinity involved in, like, Chuck D was born knowing that he was gonna make A Nation of Million to hold us back, or he was gonna make rap verses. And all he was gonna get together with his homie with the 9-8 posse and make music that would warm my soul. That would, you know, Chuck D's for real, by the way. I've seen him speak at in San Francisco once, and it was beautiful. I was the only black guy in the crowd, and I forget the topic was about something, the digital age. I forget what it was about. All I saw was Chuck D's there. I'm going to see him. And I remember I had a question. He goes, I love, he said, "Yep, brother back there's got a question. Let me," like, I felt so elevated. I'm used to being in white people's space and being like, you know, shh. But he was there. Hey, I'm not saying, like, he wasn't like, "Hey, shut the fuck up, white boy. Your brother wants to speak." But it was just like the warmth felt. It's like, it was just beautiful. Yeah, man. It was just a beautiful moment. Anyway, where was I going with this? Yeah, shout out to P.E. This is where I'm going with this. Shout out to P.E. I was a black kid growing up amongst white people with parents who valued white Jesus more than they valued the concept of culture, or didn't feel the need to talk about blackness and things. I guess they figured that you'd just pick it up like they did. I mean, like we did. I mean, sure, we came from a country where we weren't the... one black person in the audience. But, I grew up with all that self-hatred. I remember with a big poster of white Jesus on my wall. I'm surrounded by white Canadians who are like, "Hey, we don't see race, but we will call you nigger." And, there was a period in time I still remember. Like, being black was like having a tail, some shit like that. You just stood out like you were. It's like being a mutant with no fucking powers. And I remember. I think every black person has gone through their moments of like crying about why am I black? Every black kid has gone through that period. If you haven't, good for you. But I was one of those black kids who were like, "Fuck, why am I black?" Fast forward to 19. I forget. I can't remember if I was 7 or if I was 11. And I'm purposely not trying to rhyme, but it was one of these two ages. And I discover a tape by my cousin had, one of my cousins had, and it was a green tape, and I'm like, "What the fuck is this?" And these two black people on there, "What the fuck? Black people on a cassette tape? What the fuck is going on?" And I played it, and it was Run DMC, Raising Hell, and my life changed at that point. It was at that point I fell in love with hip hop. And one of the tracks by Run DMC that really got my attention was Proud to Be Black. You know, I'm black, y'all, and that's a fact, y'all, and motherfucker. Anyways, yeah, but I remember my still-forming brain being shocked at the idea of, wait a minute, I'm allowed to be proud to be black? We can? That's acceptable? I thought it was a shame thing. I thought it was like, anyways, yeah. So, fast forward, I'm growing into my blackness, but I'm not sure what came first. I think I was watching, I talked about Soul in the City. If it was rap music or Soul in the City, but I remember first time I was introduced to Public Enemy was Don't Believe the Hype, Nation of Million, Don't Believe the Hype, the video. You know, I can't remember how, all I remember is seeing Don't Believe the Hype for the first time. And I remember, you know, not understanding the beat too much, but I did like their concept. I'm like, yo, these black men look like they mean business. And, but all this to say, I discovered PE and my growth into loving my black self. Like, PE was the people who were like, we understand what you're going through. We hear you. No, you're not a victim. No, we're not victims. Fuck that. We, you know, it's like Nation of Million to hold us back. Like, powerful image of the S1Ws of like they, it's kind of like the same thing that I think Huey P. Newton was doing with the Black Panthers. It's like trying to show the community that, yo, we have a right to defend ourselves. It was just black empowerment, all that shit. I just remembered, like, fuck, just being grateful for, yeah, PE's contribution to the rap, to the rap world. And yeah, I was taking a moment to be like, shout out to Public Enemy. They were my Black History Month. They were my Black History period. But the start of it. Now, there's many other rappers like KRS-One. I think this whole month is just going to be giving homages to all some of my favorite black rappers. KRS-One is definitely coming second. I think next episode, episode 50. Is episode 49? Yeah, episode 40. Okay, 49 is... title will be Most of My Heroes Don't Appear on No Stamp Month. And sorry, Monet Blocky. I don't know what that's about. Oh, because it's warm? Maybe because the heat is fucking on. Anyways, where was I? Yeah, oh my God, be black. Okay, you know what? I just wanted to, this was a little off the script, but I wanted to give a shout out to Public Enemy. And say happy Black History Month. No, happy Most of My Heroes Don't Appear in No Stamp Month to all y'all. All right? Okay. Now, let's really start the show. Let's go with the, but before I do that, I want to, Pete, where the fuck did you put it? I forgot to put my timer. Oh, you know what? I'm going to do something different. Okay, fuck it. All right. Check this out. Hey, Google, set timer for 20 minutes. Going through it old school. There we go. All right. Okay. Now I have it in front of me. Bang, bang, bang. Okay, let's go. All right. I'm trying to be mindful of the time. So the 20 minutes is for the first segment, like I said. All right. And I'm going to do some Toastmaster style. Well, you know what? 20 might be a lot. You know, shut the fuck up, B. You can do it. You can speak a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4. So, yeah. So I have a rant. That Public Enemy should have tied into that 20 minutes. But you know what? I just remember, this is my motherfucking podcast. All right, okay. Rant against self. Rant against myself and how I played myself today. And PN. PN, I think. Wait, what? I think my why is my progress. Whatever. PN, I'm going to talk about Precision Nutrition again. Precision is like my diet plan. Then report says, could AI be potentially... Could, oh my God, some article about AI and then some church ratchetness, and then that's it. All right, okay. Yeah, 20 minutes is way too much, but you know, I have a big mouth. All right, okay. So I'm gonna start with a quick rant. And this is more me venting against myself. I gotta get it out the system, right? Okay, so every Wednesday, usually I finish work and I don't like to do this podcast on an empty stomach because then I'm grumpy. And you know my problem with dieting is it's not that I love to eat. I just hate fucking being hungry. My parents did not immigrate to this country so their firstborn could starve. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying I'm just saying principles here, principles. Anyway, so look at me making excuses. So I like to eat. No, so usually I'll do takeout or something, but, you know, and I either it's before or after the podcast. After the podcast, I have something to look into, to look forward to. And before the podcast, well, I do it on a full stomach. So what happened this time? And I guess I was telling myself, nah, stop eating out, B. Stop fucking eating out. We're going to go to the grocery store. Right. And I should probably add that one of the reasons I went to the grocery store is because Friday is going to be fucking cold. I could have gone tomorrow, but I don't know. You know, why not do today what can't, instead of doing it tomorrow? What's that saying about do today instead of doing it tomorrow? Act now. I honestly thought I was being productive. I honestly thought this was going to be a win. I was going to be talking to you about how I won against the white man. Okay, so I don't believe I'm telling you this shit, but this is a rant. Get to the point. All right, what happened? Maybe I should just tell you the story. The story is about how I went from, no, I'm going to go to the grocery store like a fucking adult, pick up some shit that I need, and then come back, pick up something quick to eat. Oh, pick up already baked chicken, eat that shit, and then do the podcast. Yes, shout out to the white people out there saying, he's eating chicken on the first day of Black History Month. Yeah, thank you. Very, very funny, white boy. Yeah, see, I talk about this white boy, but really, I have a white man inside my head, and he gets me, like I have an inner Uncle Ruckus and a white man inside my head. And yeah, it's like I have him there so that when I go into the outside world, the racism won't hurt me so much. It's like I prepare, like he prepares me. It's like, you know, he's constantly calling me nigger, you know, and by the time I get outside, I'm being like, oh, you sound like the white man in my head. Anyways, yeah. Where was I? Right. So the idea was, the plan was, do some grocery shopping, pick up some cooked chicken, eat, and do the podcast, and brag about how I fought against, I saved money, I didn't eat out, bravo, I was going to applaud myself, tap myself on the back, and then that's it, that's all she wrote. You know what ended up happening? Well, I went grocery shopping on an empty stomach. To make it worse, is I was procrastinating on going grocery shop because I couldn't decide, because I was debating between eating Nando's, you know, ordering out, or then going to the grocery store. By the time I finally made the decision to go to the grocery store, a lot of time had gone by and I was really hungry and my mood was getting bad. So, and then, you know, and it's not easy being woke or being a hippie like myself, because part of what was causing this indecision is, well, near my place, I have three options. There's a Metro, there's a Walmart, and there's a Loblaws. Fuck, I hate Loblaws. You know why? Loblaws, and just to confirm it, because, well, A, Loblaws is like a shitty organization. Grocery prices are going up, and these motherfuckers are out there bragging about how they're making record profit. We made billions of dollars. Wait, what's the article? What does it say? What's the tweet? Shout out to this homie called, Callum. Callum? Anyway, some dude I follow on Twitter, and a Canadian guy, and he's funny. And yeah, so Loblaws company tweeted this out. He says, and I got this from the homie Callum. He goes, anyways, the message from Loblaws is, it's easy to blame grocers for higher grocery prices, but on a $100 grocery bill, we make less than $4 profit. Yo, get mama, get mine. Oh, sorry, I just told people at Walmart to go fuck themselves. Fuck their mother. Anyway, yeah, so Callum in his caption writes, Loblaws wants you to believe that they made additional $125 million last year and on a $4 profit margin. Yeah, they're gaslighting it. Yeah, you know what I mean? So, okay, all this to say that I'm like, I should go to Metro, but I'm in a hurry. You know, all this indecision went, and then next, long story short, instead of going to, you know, fight the power, I went to Loblaws. And you know how I protested? By walking in there with a shopping bag, with a grocery bag from Metro. That was my protest. So then I was going to say, all right, okay, all right, I'm going to go, and then I'm just going to talk about how I'm going to be on the podcast, say, yeah, I sold out, went to fucking Loblaws, helped them make record profit during a fucking recession. And I'm one of those assholes, right? But my silent protest was I had a bag of Metro. That was my bet. Anyways, so I'm in Loblaws, and I mentioned, right, I'm fucking hungry. Boys and girls, if you're like young, if this is your first time living on your own, don't write this motherfucking shit down. Don't ever go grocery shopping on an empty stomach. You're playing yourself. Anyways, I'm in Loblaws. I have off my list. And of course, I'm getting what's on my list and everything else. I got some pre-cooked food. One of my friend told me, hey, man, Loblaws got this shit where they got pre-made food. And you should try it. Yeah, I tried. Yeah, and I think I'm trying to blame my friend for the fact that I bought some pre-made food. I believe in blaming everyone else for your mistakes. All right? Shut up, podcast. Yeah, so where was I? Yeah. To make it worse, fucking for some reason, Loblaws had no chicken. I know, I'm a black man on a podcast complaining about the fact that my grocery store didn't have any chicken. Who doesn't like chicken? Anyway, yeah, so I was pissed, like pre-made chicken. So I ended up freaking out. So I ended up buying everything on my list plus a whole bunch of extra shit. And get to the line, and I told myself, you know what? I'm just going to go to the burrito joint near my Loblaws, right? Anyway, yeah, because... go to the store, man. My bill came up to $120, right? So you do the math. I don't know how much profit they made on my $120, according to their shit like that. But this fucking story is hilarious to me, man. So much for my fucking protest, because the bag that I bought from Metro can't fit $120 worth of groceries. And there was alcohol in there, too. That's the other reason I went to Loblaws, because I needed to get some alcohol. Anyways, so I get my grocery, and they gave me a shitload of extra bag, which I ended up paying for. So all this to say, I'm leaving fucking Loblaws, $120 worth of groceries, and a whole bunch of their bags. I'm advertising to everyone, Loblaws, I just went to Loblaws. I'm a sellout. And on Black History Month, and went to my favorite, it's not really favorite, it was just like, I went to the burrito joint, and I'm not going to mention their name, but they fucked up my burrito. I don't know if they fucked it up, or I'm the one who put all the wrong ingredients in there, but that motherfucker was soggy as hell. Anyway, so, the only thing that kept reassuring me, the only thing that made me laugh, the only thing that stopped me from being like, fuck, I hate the world, I fucked myself up, is I was laughing about, there's no way I'm not talking about this incident on the podcast, all right? No way. How long are we? 10 minutes in. All right. That was a 10-minute rant about how I played myself. Now, what I should be talking about, though, is, and this is where I talk about my precision nutrition diet, right? And really, I'm going to probably save this for the next episode. How I don't think I have a why. No, my why is a progress. I'll explain that later. But for now, the reason I only bring up precision nutrition in this context is because, in this conversation, is because I love the fact that they're practicing. It's if you've read the book Atomic Habits, right? It's pretty much putting that shit into practice. Like, I read the book, but then I kept telling myself I need to reread it to learn. But nah, man, the best way to learn is to put that shit in practice. Now, the major takeaway I did get from Atomic Habit is, okay, it's not about being an A-plus student. If you want to be an A-plus student, okay, you're like a C student. Well, and you pretty much tried everything, and everything that everyone that works for everyone hasn't worked for you for yourself. You know, you're surrounded by people who say, you're just lazy and shit like that. Like, it's not whatever. Then you got to take the long road. So for some people, they could just talk to a tutor, they're great. But if you're one of those people who pretty much have to take the long road, then yeah. So if you're a C student, then you focus on being a C-plus student. Once you're a C-plus student, you focus on being a B student. But, you know, it's long, but the point is you make consistent progress to making progress is like easy. Yes. Okay, in a kind of way this ties into. I actually suck at making progress. No, you know what? Let me back up. I've convinced myself, my brain believes in my operating system of a brain, it believes that when it comes to progress, now progress and Be Black is not on the same page. All right, it's just failure. See, the check. It's just, that's like, I hate school, man. School, all school did was make me feel stupid. That's all it was about. I wasn't a dumb student, but they just, if maybe you were one of those people who got a better self-esteem from school, but yeah, not me, man. School gave me an education, but it didn't give me, like, I hated school, man. School was just another entity, another member of the institution calling me nigger. That's all it was to me, man. Anyway, so, Beyonce Renaissance Tour. Yeah, anyways, I'll get back on that. I wonder if everyone's tweeting about that shit. So where was I? Yeah, progress. So I'm realizing I was mad at myself after shopping, because I realized that I was better off ordering Uber Eats because I would have spent less fucking money on groceries. Ordering Uber Eats and grocery shopping tomorrow. So I've been beating myself up before I record this podcast. Actually, no, this is what happened. I was beating myself up until I finally ate and then took a shot of Irish whiskey. Some Irish whiskey, some Jameson, man. Shout out to the fucking country of Ireland and everyone involved in this Irish whiskey. You know what I mean? This is not an endorsement. They don't pay me to say this shit. But because I'm feeling better, anyways, light at the end of the tunnel there. Okay, where was I? Oh, my God. 15 minutes into this rant. Yeah, I'm not going to focus on the last thing. Okay, all right. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to skip one of the content so I could talk more about progress. Yes, progress. I was beating myself up. And I realized that I was like fighting against the desire to beat myself up. And if I could do that, that's progress. Because I've convinced myself that when you fuck up, beat yourself up, but it doesn't make progress. It's learn from your mistake. It's acknowledging that, okay, yo, I played myself. I was hungry. I should have addressed that first. And then grocery shopping, and stick to the shit that's on the fucking that was on my list. Yeah, that's something else I need to work on. But I guess it's acknowledging that. I guess what I'm doing or the improvement is I acknowledge that I fucked up. How do I learn from that mistake? You know, it's like I believe in the saying that goes, "I don't lose, I learn. I never lose, I learn. I either win or I learn." So, yeah, man, I guess that's really where I'm just trying to go. Like, this is just a story to holla if you hear me, man. Holla if you can relate to what I just said, what I'm talking about here, man. But, yeah, man, progress. Slow progress. Slow progress is better than no progress. That's the end of the story. And don't play yourself. You played yourself, especially on Black History Month. All right, okay, especially on the first day of Black History Month. All right, okay, 5 minutes left. I'm just going to jump to... I'm not going to do the article about, because I'm trying to make a quick joke about it, but the title goes, report says AI could potentially replace 85 million jobs worldwide by 2025. Are interns on the list? Yeah, man, apparently AI could, like, do creative shit. Holy shit, AI probably could do a podcast soon. Anyway, whatever. And it's not that article that gets to me. Is maybe if I find it, I'll show it. It's more the videos of all these robots and like these robot dogs that I don't know if you've seen like this on your timeline. And there's like a clip of these robot dogs and shit like that, and it just kills me. I'm like, okay, so I tried to make this comment in the comment section of this article, but they wouldn't let me. But that's why I'm making it on this podcast. But long story short is, I remember the good old days when, you know, some immigrant would try to take your job, then, you know, you would threaten them with violence. Now, what I think is going to happen is when AI starts taking your job that you didn't think was possible to take, your creative writing job or shit that, wait, a computer can't do this shit. And then you join the bully club to fuck that, let's destroy these robots. Well, these robots will be ready. Shout out to people doing security. Yeah, it's a matter of time before these robots take over your jobs. Especially these fucking cops, man. They might going to say, okay, yeah, well I'm not... that I think is going to improve situation, but I can see them being like, yeah, you white cops, you guys are too racist. We saw what happened to Tyre Nichols, so yeah, we're going to replace you with robot. And that's going to be fucked up, especially when there's a glitch in the robot. And it's like, and you know what? I'm all over the place. I'm just saying that it's cool for AI to take over the creative job, but once they take over security jobs, all I'm going to say is I'm glad I'm too old to riot. All right, last piece of news. Okay, so church ratchetness. This one falls under church ratchetness. And church ratchetness is for all of you who are listed, who are Black Guy Who Tips fans, are probably saying, hey, you stole that concept from the Black Guy Who Tips. And I want to say, no, mine is church ratchetness. Them, it's sword ratchetness. And I want to be clear. They're McDonald's. I'm McDowell. That's all I'm saying. All right? Okay. So church ratchetness is a segment that I dedicate to talk shit about the church. Christians, especially Christians, the Bible, whatever, all the above. Why? Because that's what you get when you force a kid to go to, like, I'm an example of what happens when you force your kid to go to a church against your will. You know, they get bitter. Anyway, so here I am. So I'm just going to play this clip and talk shit about the person saying what he's saying. Here we go.
You'll see pastors preach messages that condone homosexuality when the Bible is very clear that this behavior is not acceptable to God. And I want to say this very gently. I know some of you have friends and family that struggle with homosexual behavior, lifestyle, choices, yeah, or attraction. We should love those people, and God does love those people.
Those people?
And he will accept those people, but God never accepts sin. And yet you'll get pastors that will, you know, well, Jesus just wants us to love people. And this is false teaching, using the name of Jesus in vain to push an agenda that contradicts the very word of God. You'll see pastors preach messages that...
That was being... The booze would be right. Yeah, okay, look, I just... Some dude's on my timeline. His name is Christian Nightmares. Whatever. Anyways, I don't know. Is he Christian? Whatever, man. But he's posting a lot of shit that are triggering me. Like, he's not... I guess he's condemning them, but yeah, the caption read, this homophobic pastor wants to say this very gently. And I guess, because I gotta really think of why this brought me into anger. It's because, well, A, what he's saying is some bullshit. It's homophobic. Dude, he's justifying being an asshole, right? It's, it falls into my disappointment that growing up Christians, we were supposed to be salt of the world, we're supposed to be the good guys. We were supposed to be the and all this shit. And this motherfucker, only to find out that anyone could be a Christian. Any asshole could be a Christian, especially the assholes, especially the scoundrels, especially the people who like have no intention of taking, who plan on just be spending their entire life from birth to death being a shitty human being. And then they could just pull out some verse from the Bible saying, hey, Jesus got me. Anyway, so what pissed me off the most, or what bothers me, is how homie just reminded me this tradition by Christians of pointing their fingers at other people and saying their sins are worse than mine. And that's what Christianism all being about, is talking about how this person's sin is worse than mine. Now, I'm not saying that, oh shit, well, there goes my 20 minutes, but okay, I'm going to end this segment with, I'm not saying that, this is not, my point isn't to say that, hey, I'm not joining the conversation, I'm not joining the homosexuality as I said, no, that's not my point. I'm saying this motherfucker just called homosexuality a sin, and said, but the Bible's really clear, and blah, blah, blah. I said, but what about your fucking sin of being a fucking asshole, or maybe that's not being a sin. Maybe God, Joe Cracker Jesus, is as much as an asshole as you are. But anyway, I'm saying, man, give that motherfucker a gas face, man. Fucking, I hope your church burns. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. I'm very emotional about this shit. And I wish there was a hell. And, but then again, you know, according to Jesus, according to the Bible, I'm going to hell. But anyway, all right, okay. Okay, this concludes the first segment, the first chapter, the first act of the podcast, Random Thoughts, and let's switch to Personal Thoughts. Yeah, all right, okay. Yo, this is starting to feel a little bit like a more organized podcast, but okay, here we are, 33 minutes. Okay, let's go. You know what? I'm going to skip this one, but because this is me trying to be transparent with y'all. But let's just say, what's on your mind? You know, maybe I should call this what Baby Black Was Time is. Or what's on your mind? That's what this segment is. Is what's really on your mind, B-Black? Maybe that's what I should call this segment. What's really on your mind, B-Black? Tell them why you're mad. All right, okay. So this one's a little personal, but let's just say I'm putting in a lot of thoughts into my need to get along with people. And you would think, well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with your need? It's because it's not that it's a bad thing, but it's more I'm realizing that a lot of my personality is trauma responses. And the conversation lately I've been having with my therapist, it's been like, I guess it's the beauty in therapy is the attack a concept that you believe in and you're reevaluating shit. So to her, the discussion is about your trauma responses. And I'm hearing, oh, so you're telling me be an asshole to people. You're telling me this and that. Like, this is the back and forth, but I'm just gonna end this thought with I'm currently reevaluating or reanalyzing the algorithm, the source code in my mind, the part of my brain that has a need to get along with people, to be the peace bringer. Not because it's a bad thing, but more the part that are self, the part that are like fugazi, I guess. the part that are fugazi. Anyways, this is one of those thoughts that I should put on paper. So I'm just going to skip to the next one that I had in mind was, What was the last episode called? Troops and Crazy Juice. 048, Troops and Crazy Juice. I fucking love that title. But that's not the point. I think I may have talked about, if it wasn't that episode or the one before, how I, discussion I had with a therapist, and she said some shit that, she said something that just lit something up inside of me. And it was, basically the statement, you know, for context, just listen to the podcast, but essentially she was saying, B, you did not give up on being a man. You gave up. You've abandoned or you trashed being someone else's definition of what it means to be a man. And because I remember the first time she said it, it didn't make sense. and then it sinked in, and you know, it was a slow burn. 2 days later, where I'm like, oh shit! And it gave me, and I felt like there was a life purpose in there. But the word that I ended up using that I found the words that I want to use to say what she's saying is what I'm doing is, and this is what this entire podcast is about, well, partly about, is me reclaiming masculinity or my own masculinity. Instead of, like, I grew up wanting someone else's definition of, like, you know, of masculinity. What does the Bible say about being masculine? What does my favorite ultra masculine rapper, not Chuck D, what do all these rappers say about masculinity? What does it mean to be a real man? And anything that says, well, you know who you are? Well, go fuck it. Tell, you know, squish that shit. Get rid of that shit. You see that part of you that's a bitch ass nigga? Well, get rid of that shit. And this is what it means to be a man. You know, shit, this reminds me. I was listening to some Cardi B. Up. What's the line? She goes, broke niggas don't deserve pussy. Hold on a second. Cardi B. Yo, it's a dope verse. Don't get me wrong. I'm not dissing Cardi B at all. Cardi B is like a lyricist, a dangerous lyricist. And like, it's been a while since a rapper said something that made me rewind that shit. And it was a dope verse. I'm trying to, fuck, come on, man. Sorry, Rap Genius doesn't think I'm a human being. Racism. Okay, so she says, look. Once upon a time, and I heard that I was ugly, came from a bitch whose nigga wanna fuck on me. But what she said? What's the verse? She goes, fuck, I love that rhyme, but it's a big bag busted out Bentley bent to yacht. God damn, that's a alliteration. Big back, buddy. Bitches. Hold on a second. I'm looking for the verse she says. Shout out to you, Cardi B fan who are like, who know what the fuck I'm talking about, who are reciting it. Okay, broke boys don't deserve no pussy. Only reason I bring it up is because earlier on, I was talking about how, previous episode, I've talked about Andrew Tate and how that's what his gimmick is. He sells us on a version of masculinity. He sells us dudes with no image of masculinity who are trying to be, who want to be good men or real men who are like caught up into that shit but never had real role models. He's selling you on a version of masculinity. And I just realized that this image, this crap image of masculinity is some shit that I actually picked up from hip hop. Now, don't get me wrong. Okay, I'm not saying rappers and Andrew Tate are the same thing. Okay, I mean, the misogyny is the same. But come on. That motherfucker is like, you know, he's got like he kidnaps chicks. He's like on sex trafficking. Most of my favorite rappers talk shit about women, but I mean, you know, it was all an act. Then they went home to their wives and be like, yeah, here's the, you know, and they were adults about that shit. But anyway, only reason I bring up Cardi B is because it made me think about how female MCs contribute to the image of the fake ass masculinity. Now, I'm not blaming them. I'm not saying it's their fault. I'm saying, no, they're just, you know, she's trying to be a ruthless rapper and she's just playing the game and all that. She ain't gonna rap about, yeah, I want a man who's whatever. I'm not blaming her. I'm just saying when I was in the grocery store listening to Up, and then I got to the line of broke bitches don't deserve no pussy. I'm like, broke boys don't deserve no pussy. And I was looking at my bill. I'm like, fuck. I was thinking how broke I am. I'm like, ah. And I'm just saying the timing was fucking amazing. But holy shit, reclaiming masculinity. That's my journey right now. I Googled reclaiming masculinity. And because I figured that other people might be on that tip. I mean, it can't, I just, you know, I don't believe in original ideas. I'm sure other people are on that. Someone else has, maybe there's a group out there. Maybe there's a support group out there. But, man, yeah. By the way, I can't multitask for shit. If you see me on the street chewing gum, leave me alone. My brain can't masculinity. There we go. Boom. Reclaiming masculinity, right? And then, of course, there's some ad space that came up, but oh, reclaiming your manhood. But the article, the story that got my attention the most was, oh, wow, the search results changed. Oh, wow, holy fuck. Okay, these results suck. But the one that I like, oh, there we go, reclaim your manhood. Is that the one? Nah, this is some toxic bullshit. But the one... And this is one of the rare times I'm like, maybe there are miracles, whatever, right? But I was going through it, and one of the titles that came up when I put in "Reclaiming Masculinity" was "Reclaim Masculinity" was the highly sensitive man finding strength in sensitivity. I don't like talking about being sensitive. I actually struggle with that aspect of it. But the reality is, and it's. I'm admitting this on the microphone, but this, like I said, this podcast is me attempting to be real, show you my unpolished side. But yes, I am a sensitive male, and it fucks with me, But I love the fact that there are other men who are like that. I'm not talking Ralph Transvan. I'm sensitive because I'm trying, you know, I'm saying what you need to hear so I can get in your panties. It's like. Music hits you like it's kind of like light hits you harder than everyone else. Like this experience called life hits you harder than everyone else. Like you feel other people's pain, other people's happiness, and shit like that. Yeah, you know, and you know, sensitivity is usually a trait associated to femininity. But what I love about this book is this author, Tom Falkenstein. One, this shit was translated for German. I like the idea that, you know, that, of course, no English dude would come up with this, you know, with what am I trying to say? Whatever. Outside of the box thinking. It's written by a psychotherapist, a therapist, whatever. And his intro, he's basically saying everything I needed to hear. Say, yo, I have men who come into my office and they're talking about, yo, doctor, I need you to help me get rid of this sensitivity because I'm a bitch. You know, I'm tired of being a bitch ass nigga. And I really need to stop using the word bitch. But anyways, they're the same complaints that I had. And they're just, and I like in the intro, the conclusion is pretty much saying, he said all the right things. He said, look, one, being sensitive is not a superpower, and nor is it something for you to curse. It's just a trait. It's like being dark skinned. It's like being light skinned. It's like being, it's a trait. Unfortunately, in this fucking society, sensitivity and masculinity are not supposed to go together. But there's a lot of us out there. There are a lot of us males out there where being sensitive is a thing. Like, most people, you tell them, hey, I'm sensitive. Oh, you're weak. Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. So I got to watch my language around you. They don't get it. But when you're there for them doing shit like hearing what they're saying, sympathizing as they're crying about their mom and like, you know, like, or talking about a pain, a struggle, a problem that they're too embarrassed to, they would be usually embarrassed to tell anyone else, and they're getting empathy from you. When that happens, they're like, oh, fuck. They're great. They won't say thank you, but they're fucking grateful that, wow, you're listening. Someone's listening to what I have to say. But then they'll turn around and be like, yeah, you bitch ass nigga. It's being sensitive is one of those traits that seems to be something that other people benefit from more than the people who have that trait, who are sensitive. Does that mean? Anyway, I'm just saying, I'm that's probably like some bullshit thinking that I'm just saying. It's just, this is a observation, but the point I'm making is reclaiming masculinity. And this book is sending me in the direction where I can own up to it, accept it, and I love what he says in the book is, here's hoping that you take part in, like, you could be the, you men, a sensitive man, if we bond together, we could be the ones who, like, change or help the world realize that or expand the definition of masculinity. Usually people would think of masculine, a real man is a tough guy, fucking makes fires, kills bears, fucks his wife, doesn't eat pussy. You know what I mean? Doesn't eat pussy, but brings his wife to orgasm. You know what I mean? It's like this bullshit definition of, this fake ass definition of this Hollywood version of masculine. Man, motherfuck John Wayne. Anyway, yeah. Of this whack ass definition of masculinity. Like, sensitive men is a real thing. It's funny how I'm preaching to you, but I'm still haven't accepted it. So I'm working on it. Shout out to my homegirl when I told them that I'm reading this book. I was expecting her to be like, yo, man, why are you reading this book? Why are you continuing this path of bitch assness? And she was just like very accepting. It's part of being a sensitive man. You really need to curate your friends. Curate? Is that the word? Curate your friends. Because some people are like, won't understand it, you know? But there's some people, like, my real friends, they appreciate that trait. They appreciate that. They don't treat it like it's a handicap. And to be honest, not a lot of people know how to appreciate this particular human trait. They know how to take advantage of it. They know how to complain about it. But they just, it's a very unique. Yeah, man. I think I'm saying it's one thing to be sensitive, but it's also to be friends with. It takes a talent to be friends with someone who is sensitive. But all this to say, I'm grateful for this new book, that this journey, this path that I'm on. This is part of the growth that I'm hoping to see in myself, or see. Period. And I'm kind of hoping to have better things to say, more things to say about. about this book. So yeah, okay. So, all right, now finally, last topic, last thing, last item that I wanted to bring up is somewhat along the lines of reclaiming masculinity. I'm, hold on, let me do this search. While I was going on Reddit, I discovered this, it's called Mike Tyson's Final Goodbye. I'm just going to play it instead of summarizing it, but let's just say that I think that maybe that's what life's all about. Mike Tyson ain't a perfect human being, right? Maybe that's what life is all about. It's not about being perfect. It's not about constantly getting it right. It's every once in a while doing something that makes getting it right once in a while, I guess. Maybe that's what it's all about. And he just said something that I found profound. And it's called Mike Tyson's Final Goodbye. Here we go.
Mike, first let's start with you. Did you want to continue?
Well, I would like to continue, but I saw that I was getting beat on. I realized I don't think I have it anymore because I got the ability to stay in shape, but I don't got the fighting guts, I don't think, anymore.
When did you recognize that? At what part of the fight?
I don't know. Early into the fight. I'm just sorry I let everybody down. I just don't have this in my heart anymore.
Did you feel as though you had it coming into the fight?
No, I'm just fighting to take care of my bills, basically. I don't have the stomach for this kind of no more. I'm more conscious of my children and those guys looking at my parents. I don't have that ferocity. I'm not an animal anymore.
Does that mean we won't see you fight again?
Yeah, that's most likely. I'm not going to fight again. I'm not going to disrespect the sport anymore by losing to this caliber of fighters.
Mike, a lot of people wonder what you'll do now with your life. Boxing has been your whole life.
Well, I'm sure I'll find something to do. Boxing doesn't define me. I'm just sorry to disappoint the people in this city. I know I didn't have it in my stomach no more, but I was in dire need to take care of my life. I'm just being honest. I'm not taking nothing away from Kevin. I don't love this no more. I'm just in here. I don't love this no more. I haven't loved fighting since 1990. But Kevin, congratulations on your career and good luck.
Damn. Hold on a second. Check this out. Yay! Actually, I didn't want these kids coming. Bravo, Tyson. Bravo, Tyson. I made notes. Is what I love about is the humility, the humbleness, the honesty, the in that goodbye speech. It's I'm trying to believe shit is some things are real in this. Like I'm really holding on, hoping this is like sincere. But for the sake of this fucking moment, I'm gonna choose to believe that he was being serious. He was being for real. This ain't no gimmick. And Tyson, tough guy. And he just reached a point where he says, no, I'm done. Not just done, but, you know, it's not in me anymore. Like, he can be, you know, he like, there's a lot of perfect example. Fucking Trump. This motherfucker refused to concede. To his followers, he's like the definition of masculinity. Like, I don't lose. I will not lose. Tyson was a fucking champion, was a beast. And I love that he finally reached a point of his career. He says, yo, it's not in me. He wishes his opponent success. And he just said, he bows out gracefully. And I guess there's a maturity in there. Like, there's something powerful about. It's like, you know what? I've never learned as a child. I wish I'd learned is how to lose. I'm not saying I've never lost. I'm saying my attitude towards losing were counterproductive. Weren't like Tyson is like, yo, boxing doesn't define me. I could do something else like that. There's can y'all hear me? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm at loss for words. I'm feeling a little, you know, a little moved. Like, you know, there's a bit of like, the emotions are kicking in. Maybe it's making it difficult to process thoughts. But y'all hear what I'm saying? Like, that was amazing what he just did. Again, not a perfect individual. He's got his flaws. But this fucking moment, for me, means a lot. I'm thinking about this past episode where I talked about maybe life is just about putting on a big-ass show for the rest of us. Just putting on a show that the rest of us will talk about. Well, this, I believe, this is one of those moments. I don't know, defines, but this is, I guess I'm saying, Tyson, for everything he is, for every flaw, this particular moment, this 1 minute, 30-second segment of him retiring from boxing, to me, was like inspiring. Yeah, inspiring. It's just, it's like, thank you, Tyson, for, I could be that kind of man. Not that I'm looking for permission, but I'm just saying it was as inspired as when Jay-Z and Nas shook hands and squashed their beef between the two. You know, maybe they sold more records that way, but that's not, okay, sorry. I'm fighting the cynicism in me, but yeah, man. So this is it, man. That's it. Look at me, man. 54 minutes in. my favorite episodes are the ones that are less than 1 hour, but well, I'm going to fuck it up by saying more shit, praising myself. I'm like, look at me, all right? I did less than an hour. Oh, we're over an hour. All right, okay, gang. That's it, man. This concludes this week's midweek episode of Shut Up Podcast, episode 049. Most of my hero don't appear on no stamp month. Thank you for listening. Holler at me on Twitter, bblizak, or at Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Please be nice. And if you plan on writing in, you know, especially, yo, holler if you hear me, man. If I say some shit that reached you, that you can relate to, that you can connect to, I want to hear from you. You know, because it can't just be me out there. But yeah, here we are, man. And yeah, to subscribe to the website, if you didn't know, RSS feeds on the website. What did I say? To subscribe to this podcast, find the RSS feed on the website. Right click and plug that shit in your favorite podcatcher. You can find us as in the podcast, on Google or Apple Podcasts. And that's it, man. And again, thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Word. I mean, peace. Oh, happy Black History Month. Peace.